live on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'll second that. Of course, that's because it's our second episode, and there's a lot of things I'm going to agree with today. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. I am your host for the evening. Thanks for joining us. Cody, Coach, and Reggie all have other things they need to attend to, so we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some NHL. We're going to save our Oakland A's preview because I want to hear Cody's take on that. We'll save that for a couple weeks. But welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Once again, the easiest way to join this club is, well, if you're listening, you're part of the club. Even if you're not listening, if you simply downloaded this and deleted it, thanks. We appreciate it. Of course, if you are a fan of just sports in general, if you're a fan of myself or any of the other amazing hosts we have on this show at any varying time, and obviously if you just like good sports debate, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Now, the NFL has been absolutely ridiculous today with their free agency. We're going to get into, you know, we're going to get into that in a minute. There are some other more pressing matters, and we'll get right into those. And a lot more. You know, first I want to talk about the Kevin Durant injury. The Kevin Durant injury, and we all know what this is going to mean. A lot of people have started panicking. A lot of people have started, you know, counting the Warriors out. I don't know how you can count the Warriors out, because they're still the Warriors. I mean, it did take them a handful of games to get used to Kevin Durant being on the roster, which I totally understand. I totally understand that. And they've gotten into playing a certain way, you know, don't have a problem there as well. But, you know, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, these guys, they've been there before. They've been to two or three straight finals. They've won one of them. I'm not worried about the Warriors going forward. I do feel like that means that the San Antonio Spurs are going to get a little bit closer to catching up to them. And I think this is not such a slam dunk, for lack of a better term, this is not such a slam dunk matchup. For one, they have to both make it to the West Coast Finals. Weird things can happen. But I still think we're looking at Golden State versus San Antonio. And right now, it's probably going to go seven games. And I really don't know who's going to win that. I really don't. Kevin Durant could be back in time for that, but, you know, he's going to have to get those sea legs ready. Can they go against Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich? Sure. I think they actually still hold the advantage. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think they still hold the advantage over the Spurs. The Spurs do have the potential to beat them, but, you know, so does Memphis. So does anything can happen on any given day. That's why we watch. That's absolutely why we watch sports, because at any given point, the number one team can lose to the last place team. You know, what is this? You know, what does the Durant injury actually mean? Like I said, it just means that there's going to be a lot of confidence thrown around to San Antonio. Is going to get a little bit. You throw Memphis in there. You could throw the Oklahoma City Thunder, Russell Westbrook is going to think that for some reason he has this extra confidence that one player can take you all the way to the finals. Look, even when Allen Iverson made it to a NBA finals, it wasn't just because of him. It may have been 60, 70%, probably even 80% knowing Allen. But the other players on the team had to contribute. So if Westbrook thinks that he can take them all the way to the finals or all the way to the even Western Conference finals, then, you know, I don't think you're correct in that. But this Durant injury, it's you hate it because Kevin Durant is probably the second best player in the NBA behind LeBron. If you don't believe that, that's fine. Your opinion's your opinion. But if LeBron is off the Cavaliers, Cavaliers probably win 25, 30 games. If that. And that's really saying much. With Kevin Durant off, suddenly the Warriors can't beat any big team. So, you know, overall, what's this going to mean? It's going to mean that the Warriors are going to have to try a little harder. They're going to have to go back to the way they used to play. Steph Curry is going to have to take a few more bigger shots as opposed to having the other options. Draymond Green is going to have to make sure he stays in games a lot more. I think the Warriors are going to be fine, though. Everybody else is selling on the Warriors. Why would you sell on the Warriors? They're not the Seahawks. The Seahawks are on their, you know, potentially on their way down the hill. The Warriors are still in their prime. They're still making this big run. I have no problem with the Warriors. But, you know, good to have everybody in. Shout out to off-air producer Billy, who threw some pretty good topics up this week, as opposed, you know, we debate back and forth all the time, the content for this show. And, you know, shout out to him for all the work he does. Actually had a good conversation with Cody and Reggie and Coach earlier this week about some of the stuff. Like I said, they couldn't make it in, but I'm here, and I actually know I've had those conversations. So we're going to try to get into some of that stuff. Like I said, the Durant injury is pretty much the biggest thing in the NBA because the fact that, was it Lorenzo Ball, the fact that his dad and Charles Barkley are in a beef doesn't mean a can of beans to me because it's a dad protecting his kid and it's Charles Barkley being Charles Barkley. And in this case, Charles is right. So, you know, is what it is as far as that. Now, I want to shift to the NHL real quick. And by real quick, make sure we want to give a shout out to Joe Thornton for his 1,000th career assist the other night. I believe only a handful of other people have reached that milestone, and I believe now he is also 997 career assists away from Wayne Gretzky's record. He is also 37 years old, so, you know, he's closing in real quick.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yep, it is. He is actually closing in pretty quick. You know, 997 more to go before he gets anywhere close to Wayne Gretzky. But tremendous milestone. I do like the Sharks. There is a good chance, you know, a couple of us here at Impact Media, since we're centrally located here in Atlanta, NHL hockey is a very tough thing for us to see. We go to a lot of the Atlanta Gladiator games because they're local. They're also the Bruins affiliate, so it's kind of nice. You got the Swamp Rabbits. You got the Orlando team, the Everblaze. We got a lot of ECHL action out this way, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes. But we've thought about taking a trip to the Nashville Predators game. Now, it looks like the Predators are going to make the playoffs, so we have considered going to the Predators games. If any of you guys are Predator fans, let us know what kind of chance, what kind of fun stuff going on there. There's a good chance that when the Predators make the playoffs, there's a good chance they're going to end up against the Sharks and handful of us here from Sports Club and Impact Media are thinking about taking that trip. So it'd be good to connect with you guys. Good to connect with you guys. But shout out to Joe Thornton for number 1,000. That's a fantastic feat. That is 1,000 more than I have. That is probably 1,000 more than most of our listening audience has. And fantastic job. Watching the Sharks play is one of my favorite things in the NHL. You know, I'm a Rangers fan, so if I can't watch a Rangers game, I'll watch the Bruins because we cover them here. If I can't watch the Bruins, I'll watch Original Six. If I can't watch Original Six, then Kings and Sharks, Predators, there's a lot of really good teams out this year. But Joe Thornton is definitely a citizen and a scholar and a all-around great gentleman. So, once again, shout-out Joe Thornton for number 1,000. Look forward to a handful more before you decide to hang it up. Spring training just got underway for Major League Baseball. A lot of the teams are downplaying a lot of the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League. Nothing big has really happened. You guys can hear me knocking there. That is no big injuries have happened. There's been a lot of other fun-related things going on. If you're down in Florida or Arizona, hopefully you can catch some of these games. For the most part, it's everybody getting back into shape. The World Baseball Classic game should actually be coming up here soon, so you guys will get a good chance to watch some of your favorite players play in that. It seems that Israel has won a couple games, so, you know, shout out to them. Now, let's get into the Atlanta United, who is the latest MLS team. They made their debut just last Sunday. We had a small viewing party here at the studio. And we had a handful of people who came by to watch. Who came by to watch the game. It was a pretty good game for the most part. You know, as far as soccer goes, it was a lot more European style than it was American style. And here's the difference. European style, a little more fast-paced, a little more action-paced, a little more offensive rather than defensive, even though they play really great defense in the European leagues, especially the EPL, La Liga down in South America, Central America area. But I got to say, with Assad scoring the first goal, it really ignited the flame that is Atlanta. Of course, that's a shout-out in reference to the Olympic flame that still burns right down from the varsity. If you hadn't eaten at the varsity, you got to eat at the varsity. Fantastic food. Not sure how healthy it is, but it's really good. But as far as Atlanta United, they are the newest team in the MLS. They played against the Red Bulls, who seemed to gain wings about the last 10, 15 minutes of the actual game. Assad scores the first goal, and then it just looked like the Atlanta team, the lack of experience, the lack of playing together, it looked like the team just kind of ran out of gas, and when they did, yellow card, then red card to another player. When you play a man down in soccer, it's just really tough. Really tough to get into it. Really tough to stay in it when you're down 11 to 10 as far as men on the field. But, you know, a 2-1 loss to the Red Bulls. Red Bulls were a pretty good team. I don't have a problem with that. Would have liked them to win. But as far as the debut, hey, the Atlanta United looked pretty good. They play really great defense. They were taking chances. Their offense, their strikers, their midfielders were able to penetrate the defense and get in behind people and take some good chances. They took some good shots. I do like that the Atlanta United goalie looks like, I call him Teen Wolf. He did make me nervous there for a minute, but I think, you know, this guy really has a chance. far as the other starters in the game, go through some of them real quick. Khan is actually the goalie's name. I'm learning this. You know, I follow some EPL leagues, and I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm trying to get in this Atlanta team because they are the new local team. And like I said, I've actually followed soccer for a couple years, so I know a little bit. We're going to hopefully have a guest on here in a couple weeks that will explain a lot more. He knows a lot more than the rest of us. But I thought Carmona and Gressel and Garza played very solid. Villalba and Assad, to me, are going to be the wild cards. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch if you're in the greater Atlanta area. Hey, not only is this team pretty good, and it looks like we can actually build on this as far as starting for an expansion team, it seems like to me we already have a team put together. And the best part is these jerseys are popping. It's kind of what I wish the Falcons would have done with their jerseys. It's some red with some black stripes and the big golden A logo. It looks fantastic. Absolutely looks fantastic. But, you know, is what it is as far as that. I do want to give a shout out to the Atlanta United for making their debut against the Red Bulls, who are not an easy team. Felt like they did pretty good, even though they come up on the losing end. But I think you got Atlanta excited for soccer. Atlanta is a place that soccer could really grow. And I feel like you helped grow the game with last Sunday's game. So it'll be nice to see them in the new stadium. Right now they're playing at Bobby Dodd Stadium, which is the home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, of collegiate fame and collegiate football. So hopefully they will get in the new Shindig Arena here. I don't know, I think it's a couple months before they'll be able to get in there. I'll give a shout out here from Sports Club to at Cody underscore Elias, who could not join us. He had some things come up. Hopefully he'll join us here in a couple of weeks. Just gave him the social media shout-out. If you want to be a part of our social media shout-out, hit us up at the Impact 99 at Team Impact Media. We will definitely pick one each week, and we'll send you the social media shout-out so that, you know, we appreciate you listening, appreciate you helping grow the show, and, you know, hopefully gained you some followers, because we definitely appreciate you guys. Now, NASCAR has decided this year for some reason that the way they want to run their races is in a three-segment format for the most part. There's a couple two format, but what basically happens is you run a third of the race, and then you run another third of the race, and then you run the last third of the race. And whoever's at the end of the third one wins the race and gets the most points. Now, you can gain points based off the other ones. I'm not sure how I like this. It seems to benefit people that can run good for a handful of laps and then kind of dwindle out. I feel like you should get more points for leading more of the race or leading the last lap or such like that, but it seems like NASCAR has almost tried to go into the participation trophy route. Now, last time I checked, not only do they not have 43 racers anymore, they have like 40, 37, something like that. They've knocked down a handful of them. You know, I don't know where Kyle Petty would finish into this. He'd probably still be dead last because that was his honorary position. But you're changing the format up. I think Jeff Gordon got out at the right time. Now he's doing Formula One stuff. You know, congratulations, Jeff, on getting out of NASCAR and into a league that just doesn't come up with these crazy schoolyard rules. Shout out to Kurt Busch for winning Daytona. I actually saw the end of that race. Kurt, you absolutely, destroyed everybody. You had a great restart, so congratulations on there, but when you split it up into so many things here, it's literally like a participation trophy. Do we really all need trophies for being in NASCAR? And if that's so, why would anybody try harder than the rest of them? Because at the end of the day, it seems like NASCAR is just going to reward anybody who's still there. It's just ridiculous is what this is. At some point, NASCAR is going to wake up and realize that they're going to lose a lot of their audience if they keep making up more and more rules that people can't figure out what's going on. At some point, NASCAR, just think about this. At some point, why can't we just come up with the fact that if you lead the most laps, you get a handful, you know, so many bonus points. If you lead the last lap, a.k.a. winning the race, you get so many bonus points. And you get so many points for how you finish. That's all we need. We don't need to divide it up. Well, you had a good 80 laps, so let's give you some bonus points. Well, you had a good 65-lap run here in the second segment, so let's give you something, too. This is not communism. It's NASCAR. It's NASCAR. People used to be afraid of some of these guys. Dale Earnhardt Sr. used to put people in the wall that he didn't, that felt like were in his way. Jeff Gordon is an aggressive racer. Kyle Busch. Brad Keselowski, these kind of guys, Joey Logano, whether you like them or whether you don't, and trust me, there's some of those I like and some of those I don't. I don't care for so much. It's that aggression. It's that will to keep doing better. Because like this, I just had this conversation earlier today with a really great friend of mine. I'm not going to throw out their name. But I told him, you know, life is kind of like a railroad, kind of like a train. There's many different stops. You never know what you're going to get at different stops. But at each stop, you can either make things right or you can make things better. And at this point, I don't feel like NASCAR is doing either. I think they're going backwards. I think they don't understand that they're making it too complicated. You either make things right or you make things better. I don't see that this is making either of those true. So come on, NASCAR. Catch up with the rest of us. Figure out what you need to do. How about we go back to the older format where, I don't know, if you win a race, you get extra points. If you lead the most laps, you get extra points. Not if you led 70 laps or if you did well in this 110 or... I mean, it just makes it so complicated. I mean, it might as well be. It's like you're trying to come up with your own rules in the backyard so that you win the game and your friends don't win. If you try to make rules that are so complicated your audience does not get it, they're going to stop watching. And then what do, NASCAR? Because you have a pretty niche audience. It's a fantastic sport. There's a lot of dollars involved. There's a lot of marketing involved. That's one of the things I really get into. It is exciting watching these races. It's real exciting going for the experience of actually watching one of the track. But if you make it so complicated that I need a 350-page pamphlet to figure out what's going on, then how am I supposed to follow it? How am I supposed to follow it when all I can do is pick up my phone at the end of the race and see who won the race or how many points they got? So NASCAR, you guys have just got to figure this out. I mean, literally, you guys have just got to figure this out. Now I want to move into the NFL. And I'm going to try to go through as many of these free agent things, these free agent signings that's happened today and the rumors. If, you know, kind of say what I feel about them or if I think they're a good move or if they're complete nonsense, complete just, you know, bull. I don't know why it's always bull crap. Why can't it be cow crap, I guess, or it could be pig crap. Either way, if it's complete garbage, or if it feels like they're actually trying. You know, rumor out there that the Browns want Jimmy Garoppolo. You and 10 other teams. So even with your 3 first rounders and 5 seconds over the next 2 years, you're going to have to load up if you want Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the thing. He's only played 2 official games. How can you base your entire franchise on 2 games? Hey, if you want to take a chance on him, maybe he pans out, maybe he doesn't. I bring up Brock Osweiler, who will be brought up right now. Now, the Texans and the Browns did get together, and they made a trade. And I think this trade benefits 2 teams more than it does 1 team. And that team that it benefits, the let's see. I want to get the official word here. This is absolutely an NBA style trade. How about it, like 4:11 minutes after free agency really technically opened. Now, for the last 52 hours, there's been illegal tampering by all 32 teams. If they have a problem with that, hey, you know our email, you know how to contact us, but everybody illegally tampers for 52 hours. So, the Houston Texans, who we all thought might have been one of the dumber franchises in signing Brock Osweiler to a sight unseen, ridiculously stupid contract, have sent said stupidly contracted quarterback. Now, he's not stupid in general. He's smart for signing this. This is like Kirk Cousins last year with the franchise tag in Washington. You sign that. If somebody's dumb enough to give you that kind of money, you sign it before they have a chance to sober up. Because at some point, they had to be under some kind of influence. I don't know what kind of influence it was. Maybe it was just the dumb gene. I don't know. But Brock Osweiler and a 2018 second-round pick are going to go to the Browns, who will easily eat up the contract because they have ungodly amounts of salary cap, and they will pick up another top 100 pick. I'm not sure exactly what the Houston Texans are getting, except for relief and the ability to sign Tony Romo. It seems like that Tony Romo should be in Houston within the week. If he's not, Tony, come on. I'm going to appeal to you here. As a Cowboys fan, it's not going to hurt my feelings that much if you go to the Houston Texans. I think you're going to do quite well there. I believe NFL Network names you as one of the winners of this trade. I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely agree with that. But it seems like this is their way of righting the wrong that was signing Brock Osweiler. Maybe Osweiler does well with Hugh Jackson, who is another quarterback whisperer up in Cleveland. I think Osweiler still has the potential to be a pretty good quarterback. I don't know why Bill O'Brien couldn't do much with him. Maybe it was the personnel around him. I don't know. But I think in clearing the deck for Houston, this pretty much means Tony Romo is going to be a Houston Texan probably within a couple weeks or by June 1st at the very latest. Also, one of the winners in this, I'm going to go by the NFL ranking here, Bill O'Brien, who, like I said, righted the wrong of signing Osweiler sight unseen to that ridiculous contract. He not only unloads the contract, but he clears the deck for people like Tony Romo. Maybe he's in the Kirk Cousins trade. I don't know. But Tom Savage actually is not a bad backup, not a bad quarterback as well. So he gets rid of the mistake he made. I applaud the Browns for this as well. They're going out. They're spending a lot of money. They've upgraded their offensive line to a pretty good standard. I had just had the conversation this morning that if I was the Browns, free agency would be about upgrading my offensive line, maybe finding a pass rusher and a corner, and then worry about my quarterback. Because if you don't have any protection for your quarterback, what does it matter? It would be like going out and purchasing a $100 million diamond, and you set it in your backyard. Well, unless you put some sort of security around that, somebody's going to take it. Somebody's going to take it, destroy it, steal it, something. But they went out and they've invested in their offensive line. They've done some good jobs. They've signed, between them and the Jaguars, they seem to be signing all the good players, all the really good players that fit. So, you know, look for the Browns, look for the Jaguars. Take a step forward this year and look for both of them. I think the Jaguars are maybe a step ahead of the Browns. But look for both those teams to start competing. And, you know, if the Browns can get out of their division, there's a good chance maybe they make a playoff here in the next 2 to 3 years. And here's also the big thing. Now that it looks like Tony Romo will be going to the Houston Texans and that Brock Osweiler is going to go to the Browns, that means people like Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch can actually get ready for the season and not worry about if they have a job or not, if they're even relevant. These two are going to compete for the Denver job, and maybe they'll do a good job. Who knows? I feel like Paxton Lynch could be the answer down the road. I feel like Trevor Siemian is the answer right now. But we'll have to see about all that. If you're Robert Griffin III, you have to be a little sad because contract numbers alone dictate that you're at least number two, possibly number three on this team. Not to mention, there's a good chance Robert Griffin III will be released. If he's not, then he's not. Now, I want to move on. We're still going to talk some NFL. We're pretty much going to talk NFL for the remainder of the show. I want to go through as many of these deals as we can. Mike Glennon is going to move on from Tampa Bay. He's going to go to the Chicago Bears. Shout out to Chicago. I'll actually be there a little later this summer. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the things I'm going to do when I'm up there. We're going to do some fun Impact Media-related stuff as well as some of the other stuff I'm going to be doing. But he's going to get about $18.5 million guaranteed on a three-year contract. I believe it is 45 total over 3 years. Good for Mike Glennon. Good for the Bears. The Bears needed a quarterback. And I like Mike Glennon. I really thought he was going to go to San Francisco. He didn't go to San Francisco. He ended up going to Chicago. Fine with me because I like Chicago a little better than I do San Francisco. I feel like he's going to succeed up there. He doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey. We'll get to that in a minute. But last time I checked, Mike Glennon could throw the ball. He's a big, like, 6'5" kid. He's got a strong arm. He's got limited mileage. He's played behind Jameis Winston, so he's kind of been hidden on the chart a little bit. They wanted to keep him in Tampa. Because they realize he's good. He may not be Jameis Winston, but he's not, you know, Jamarcus Russell. So I think this is going to really help Chicago. They're going to add some other pieces. They got a good running back. They got a decent line up there. Give them a couple more weapons up there. And, you know, I think the Bears are going to be on their way coming back. They're probably still going to have a top 10, top 12 pick next season. But you have to start over sometime, and they picked a good time to start over. They're going to be building up right about the time I think Aaron Rodgers, who is the biggest threat in their division, is going to be, possibly on the decline. So, you know, kudos to the Bears for taking a good time to try to figure it out. Let's see, other big deals. DeSean Jackson, who was rumored to go pretty much everywhere but Washington, ended up in Tampa, where he is going to get a three-year, $33.5 million contract with the Bucks. And here's what this means. First, we're going to go for the Bucks. What this means for the Bucks is DeSean Jackson will take a lot of pressure. He's going to take a lot of pressure off. Why did I just forget that kid's name? It is Mike Evans. There it is. Mike Evans. It's going to take a lot of pressure off Mike Evans. It's really like having two number ones for the next couple seasons, and then by the time this three-year deal runs out, you can let DeSean Jackson go on about his merry way, and you'll still have Mike Evans, and you'll get a chance to draft and develop somebody behind them. What this means for Tampa, this is another step forward. This means they are potentially right there to compete for the NFC South title. I look at some of the other things that happened today. I feel like the Saints still need to clear some cap room to really get some things going. But I also feel like the Carolina Panthers, no matter if they add Matt Khalil or not on their offensive line, I still feel like the Panthers and the Saints are going for third place in that division, and I feel like the Bucs and Falcons are competing for first. Now, if I'm the Falcons, I've already locked up Robert Alford. I'm in the process of talking to Desmond Trufant. I make sure that I can lock those two up, because now you're going to have D-Jax and Mike Evans to deal with next, at least twice a year when you play Tampa. The Vikings added Riley Reiff, who is an offensive tackle. They needed to do that. They left. They lost Matt Khalil, rather. And, you know, after losing Matt Khalil, they got to do what they got to do. Alshon Jeffrey has moved from the Bears to the Eagles on a one-year, $14 million deal. Basically a franchise tag without being a franchise tag, but at the same time, the Eagles have loaded up. They know they have Carson Wentz and his development, and so now they're going to load up their offensive line. They're going to give him some more weapons to throw to. Alshon Jeffrey gives him a big, tall, physical receiver who will go get the ball and fight for the ball. He's a possession receiver, as well as a up-the-middle threat. And, you know, I wish him all the best in the world. Alshon Jeffrey, it seemed like, was on his way out in Chicago anyway, so I'm glad the Eagles were able to sign him there. Now, as a Cowboys fan, I'm not excited that the Eagles and Giants have loaded up so far, but it's only the first couple of days of free agency, so we're going to let that play out and see where we go from there. Now, in one of the more surprising deals that I saw today, the Jaguars have signed Calais Campbell away from the Cardinals. He is actually going to be part of the Jaguars, who have spent a big ton of money. And, you know, like I said, between the Browns and the Jags, they have spent the most money. Does it help? I don't know, because the Eagles actually loaded up a couple years ago, and it didn't work out whatsoever. Hopefully the Jags are adding the kind of guys that will not only play well together, but it's going to make the AFC South a very big division. I think the Colts, if they don't start making some moves here soon, are going to get passed by. Houston already won the division, I believe, the last 2 years, at least the last year. Jaguars are coming pretty soon. And you got to look at the Titans. So the way it looks right now is the Colts could be number four in that division, but they're not afraid to deal because they just did that deal with the Patriots to send Dwayne Allen up to New England, which makes Jack Doyle, who I'm a big fan of, the number one tight end for their team. Now, I want to make sure I get this right, so let me pull this up real quick, because for some reason, it was not pulled up. It happens. The Redskins have actually fired General Manager Scott McLuhan. I think he has some substance-related, and by substance, I mean alcohol, some related incident, I mean not incidents, but issues he was going to take some time away anyway to try to correct those, but they have officially fired him as of a few minutes ago. Let's see. The Browns added Kevin Zeitler in a massive contract that's going to pay the former Bengals offensive lineman $60 million over 5 years. Going to make him the highest paid guard in the NFL. He's going to earn $31.5 million in guarantees. He is absolutely worth all of that. The Jaguars also added A.J. Bouye. It is a 5-year, $67.5 million deal, $44 million over the first 3 years. He is a 25-year-old undrafted free agent. He's one of the best cover corners in the NFL. Had a great season last year for the Texans. It was a big blow to the Texans that the Jaguars were able to sign him away from. Ron Leary is going to go from the Cowboys to the Broncos. That's going to add some depth for them. I hated losing him as a Cowboys fan, but as an NFL fan, this makes the Broncos, they're trying to keep up with Oakland, who is trying to surpass them, and they're trying to keep the Chiefs from catching up to them. They're right. All three of those teams at any given point are right there together. Torrey Smith is actually going to go on a 3-year deal to the Eagles. He's going to join Alshon Jeffrey. Once again, like I said, they're loading up for Wentz. They're letting Wentz know, we're going to give you everything you can. We need you to just keep being who you are. And then one of the biggest moves I saw, no, it's not the Saints adding Nick Fairley for a $30 million deal. Good for both parties involved in that. The Saints are trying to do what they can with the limited money they have. But Brandon Marshall is actually going to be the number two receiver for the Giants. He's pretty much just going to swap locker rooms from the Jets to the Giants. He's going to be number two behind Odell, and he's going to be in front of Sam Shepard. Once again, if you're part of that division, I just see that this makes the Giants that much better. They add a guy who doesn't drop passes. Not that Victor Cruz dropped that many. Odell actually drops a handful more than anybody. But Brandon Marshall with Eli throwing to him, that makes them very, very dangerous. And for the rest of the division who has trouble covering people in the defensive back area, it's going to be a little scary. Kenny Stills is going to stay in Miami. And that's a lot of the bigger deals that happened today. Obviously, we'll update you guys on our website and, of course, on our social media accounts as more comes up throughout the week. Like I said, this is just the start of what we are 3.5 hours into free agency. So who knows what's going to happen. That's going to do it for us this week. I am Jeremy the Impact York. If you are a fan of our Board Check show or the Atlanta Gladiators or hockey in general and in the Atlanta area, this weekend you're going to see my smiling face and probably Jake from Impact Media as well. Who knows who else might be with us, but we're going to go down to the Gladiator games this weekend. I believe 7 o'clock. Puck drop on Saturday and a 2 p.m. puck drop on Sunday. Look forward to seeing you there. But for the coach, Haywood Hill, for the King ATL and Reggie Walker, for my West Coast buddy and great friend, Cody Elias, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week or in a couple weeks for Sports Club. Have a good week. Go Falcons. Yeah.
I got them shaking their boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate them blue in the face like John Joker. I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose hell. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low. Then the pound of real fat, just like the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?